से वासुदेवाया
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, Texts 5 and 6, Translation and Commentary by the Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, from the Acharya of his soul. Text 6, Text 5 has no purport, and I think that is comment upon the verse that previous Acharyas have commented on, so we'll go through the next section. Nayashtavyam nadatavyam nahotavyam vijakvachit iti nyavarayat dharmam bhari goshena sarvashaha. This advice Prabhupada gave many times. Take this Krishna consciousness seriously and prepare to go back to Godhead in this very life. Generally it's understood that to go back to Godhead in one life is not very common. It may take many lifetimes to understand Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam vang prakatate vasudeva sarvam iti samahatnasa gulavaha. After many, many births, one who is in knowledge surrenders to Krishna, knowing him to be the cause of all causes and all abuse. Such a great soul is very rare. But it is possible by the process of Krishna consciousness. In this very life, we can become purified and go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada several times, in commenting about the situation in Kali Yuga, he said that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So he recommended become serious and finish up your Krishna conscious business in its very mind. It means prepare ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead. But anyway, this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman to live in. And especially in the modern age, it's a very horrible situation. We take it as normal. We take it as normal that people eat meat and drink wine and do all kinds of horrible things. Last year I was traveling in a train from Varasvatal to Arkhangel. And there was one man, one soldier just come from Chechnya. And he was explaining to his friend who was sitting next to him, said, well, with this knife I cut so many people's throats and took out their eyes. And he was showing photos to his friend. And his friend was saying, very nice. As if to say, that's very nice. So this Kali Yuga especially, people are devoid of any good qualities. I remember Prabhupada, he was commenting about this once, and he was telling one story that he had seen in Calcutta, outside one restaurant, that one man, he had cut the head of a chicken. And the chicken was, when you cut a chicken, it may still jump a little bit. So his son was crying to see such a horrible scene. But the man was laughing and saying, why are you crying? It's very nice. So Prabhupada commenting on this, he said that people in the modern age, they are cruel, 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 cruel. He said the word several times. And each time with more and more feeling. People take pleasure in giving pain to others. Or, they, for their own pleasure, they don't care about the pain of others. If I have to eat meat, what does it matter if the animal suffers? If I want to abandon my family, what does it matter that they are suffering? It is an age when people inflict suffering on each other. So apart from the suffering they're inflicting on each other, by the sinful activities they perform, they create a situation in which severe karmic reactions will come. So it's predicted in the Shastra that for 10,000 years there will be a golden age within the Kali Yuga. And then after that, full Kali Yuga. Full force of Kali Yuga. The situation will be so bad at the end of Kali Yuga that people won't even know, they'll not even know what religious activities are. There won't even be talk of piety, let alone any pious activities. So Prabhupada, he was saying, don't hang around, don't wait here. Don't think, I'll stay here and enjoy a little bit. I'll go back to Godhead later. This is a common idea in India, that during your lifetime you worship Shiva and Durga because you'll get material prosperity. And at the end of life you worship Krishna because he's Mukunda, he gives liberation. So enjoy now and then get liberation later. Enjoy now, samadhi later. But it doesn't work like that. Because in old age, if you have cultivated attachment to this material world throughout your life, you cannot just give up that attachment. You can't cheat Krishna that I'll just use you at the end of life and then you have to give me some liberation. Actually, I was saying that's a common idea in India. But actually, it's not even that common nowadays. Because now, throughout life, people just directly worship the latest Hindu god, which is called the rupee. The rupee. The rupee is the main god. It's the Indian money. Money. So be Krishna conscious now. Krishna consciousness is urgent. We are in a state of emergency. Here you see there was an emergency in the state due to the uncontrolled activities of King Vena. So we have a similar situation all over the world now. But it's been like this for such a long time that we don't think it's an emergency. We're living in a disaster, but we think that it's normal. Actually, the whole material world is a disaster in any circumstance. But particularly where there are no regulated activities for spiritual elevation, that human society is like animals. So devotees in Lord Chaitanya's movement, they have two main objectives. One is to become purified themselves, to get out of this miserable material world and go back to Godhead. And another is to preach Krishna consciousness, to help others come out of this horrible situation. And actually by preaching, that also helps us to become elevated. If we don't preach, it is very difficult for us to become fully realized in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada writes in one purport in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, preaching is the easy way to understand the Supreme Personality of God. If we don't do that, it's very difficult for us to connect with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we really have no hope, because we are so much disqualified. We are so much disqualified as candidates for spiritual life. Our only qualification is that Lord Chaitanya's movement is going on, and he reaches down to the most fallen. So we have to perform our sadhana. We have to chant Hare Krishna. We have to do all these activities. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we should know that for the success of all these activities, we very much need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as it is received in Guru Parampara. And the best way to link with that mercy is to distribute the mercy. In the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, you may be thinking just how I can help myself, how I can control my own mind and senses and all these things. But after some time we should see that I was suffering in material life, I was picked up into Krishna consciousness. What about everybody else? How to help others? Just like Prahlad Maharaj was thinking, that I don't even want to go back to Godhead unless everyone else can come with me. Why should I simply be interested in my own elevation? See, everyone else, they're all suffering without knowledge of Krishna. Let us try to spread that to others. So actually the position of a preacher is most glorious. And to actually preach Krishna consciousness requires great maturity and advancement. But we find in our movement that people, they join our movement and practically from the very beginning, they're trained to become preachers. That means taking people from the most raw position and giving them the topmost service. So this indeed is a great mercy. To preach Krishna consciousness is the prerogative of great souls like Narad Muni, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. What are the great acharyas doing? They're going from place to place and speaking the message of Krishna, injecting Krishna consciousness into others. So we've also been given the same duty to do that. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amar agyai guru hoya taro idesh. This order from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming down in Guru Parampara. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, give them some instruction about Krishna. In this way, become a guru and deliver the land. Now, it's very interesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this instruction to everyone he met. So they, also the people they met, they may not have had that much direct instruction or guidance from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still, he wanted them to take whatever they knew, knowledge of Krishna, and give that to others. With the understanding that whatever connection people have with Krishna, that will help them. If someone in this life takes one book of Srila Prabhupada, how fortunate. That is the most significant thing he's done in millions of books. That is the only significant thing he's done in millions of books. If someone hears the Harinam Sankirtan, how fortunate they are. If someone even sees a devotee and says, oh, that's a Hare Krishna, and he thinks of Krishna, then some progress is there. Mm-hmm. Life has not gone in vain. Otherwise, if people come into this world, they live for some time and they die, but they don't get any contact with Krishna, then their whole life is completely spoiled. So as devotees, we should feel like this, that we all have a very great responsibility for the spiritual lives of all the people, not only in human bodies, all the living entities. Of course, we mostly concentrate on the humans. But we should actually feel this responsibility, how people can be uplifted. We have our temples, what for? So that devotees can chant Hare Krishna, live together, get spiritual strength, and then go out, meet the people, preach. As Prabhupada wrote in one letter, our temples are not places for eating and sleeping, but bases from which devotees go out to fight with Maya. He further clarified that to fight with Maya means to drop hundreds and thousands of books on them, just like bombs are raining down from the sky. Prabhupada had this experience. He was there in Calcutta during the Second World War when the Japanese were dropping bombs. So he was comparing this book distribution to dropping bombs. The book distributor should feel everyone should get bombed. And book distributor means every devotee is a preacher. Every devotee is connected with this mission. Just like you are praying before the deities every day for the blessings to increase the book distribution. Now we have this cell program beginning also. So Prabhupada gave that example of dropping bombs. So we can say just like in a military attack, there may be different prongs of attacks. They may attack from the land, from the sky, maybe different methods of attack. So the books are going out, that's from one side. And the devotees are organizing programs in people's homes, in every neighborhood. Harinam parties are going out, prasad distribution is going on. So in different ways, trying to attract people's attention to Krishna. It may not seem to be that much significant, that, well, there are only a few people. But actually, it's very significant. People notice us. Generally, people around the world think our movement has many millions of members because they see, wherever they go, they see devotees of Krishna. Maybe if they come to Russia, they won't see them because they're all dressed in kami clothes. But just like, for instance, in America, people are always moving. It's a very mobile society. People are always flying around from one city to another. So they see our devotees in New York, they see them in Detroit, they see them in Chicago, they see them in LA. Then they go for a holiday in Europe, and they see the devotees in London, in Berlin, in Vienna, in Rome. Because people notice us. As you may have noticed if you go out in devotee clothes, people definitely notice us. We look different, and we certainly are different. Once one newspaper, some journalist came to Prabhupada, and he said to him, that, don't you think your followers are dressed in a little bit of a strange way? Don't you think they should dress like normal people? And then he was suggesting that, after all, they're just dropouts from their kind of useless people. He made some suggestion like that. Prabhupada looked him right in the face and he said, my disciples are like diamonds in your dirty society. So yes, devotees are different. And we want to let people know why we are different. Because we're not satisfied with this society. Everything about this society is wrong. We want to change it. We certainly don't want to be part of it. Means we're living in the society, but we are separate also. So let people know there is an alternative. You don't have to follow the way of life which you are brainwashed into following. You don't need to have illicit sex, gambling and intoxication. Normal life means dancing in the streets, chanting Hare Krishna, and in the street after getting intoxicated. See, they're saying is, why are you dancing in the street? They're also doing it. They have to drink one bottle of vodka first, then urinate in the road. This is considered very high class, very, very normal, very good thing to do. Every child, every young man, every boy should grow up and become strong by drinking vodka. These are the standards of Western society, that you have to show you're a real grown-up human being by drinking alcohol. One of our devotees, Gyanadas, he went to Oxford University. So at the first meeting of all the students that he went to, there was one professor. He told them that the most important thing you have to learn here at Oxford is how to hold your drink. Hold your drink means how you can drink a lot without falling over. But you can drink a lot and still be fairly sober. That means you become accustomed to drinking. There must be something like that in Russian also, huh? So he told that you can go through life without a degree, but you can't be successful in this world unless you can hold your drink. So we want to let people know there is an alternative. This material life is empty useless and frustrating. There's no goal. Simply live and die. And enjoy a little useless sense gratification in the middle. So it is our duty as devotees to let other people know about this. Preach Krishna consciousness. Preaching is the essence. You must always, always, always remember this. Because the tendency of Maya is to take away our enthusiasm for preaching. Just like we see, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a very powerful organization, Gauriamath, which was preaching strongly all over India. But shortly after he passed away, somehow or other the spirit was lost, and there just became a few temples where people were doing a little bhajan, collecting a little rice, eating. In our ISKCON also, we've seen in different places in the world that sometimes devotees, they become very concerned about money-making, because to maintain our temples just by book distribution and miscellaneous donations, often it's very difficult. Usually we are just somehow or other surviving. But then we see, well, we have a team of people who are prepared to work hard so they can go and sell things, some paraphernalia, and make some money. And then we won't have any money problem, and then we can distribute books without any anxiety. But what happens is, making money becomes like an intoxication. And we start to think that, well, why should this devotee distribute books? He's good for making money. Let him make money instead. So everyone ends up distributing paraphernalia, and the preaching mood is almost completely forgotten. And we get in mind. We become attached to money and opulence, and eventually politics sets in, and the whole development is stunted. So even with selling prasadam for making profit, we have to be very careful that our focus doesn't become money and profit. Not that we're against money or profit. We want money for serving Krishna. But how the money should come, Prabhupada many times quoted Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, preach and money will come. That means we have to preach with some intelligence also. You see, Prabhupada is an expert manager. In the beginning days of ISKCON, he personally dealt with the publishers. He went to Japan just to get the best deals for printing his books. Then he made a system that the DDT, they mark up the books. They add profit, a certain amount. In different countries, it's a different amount according to the financial situation of the country, economic condition of the country. So that money which comes into BBT is used for printing more books and for sending money to India for building temple projects. And there was also some incense business going on in Los Angeles, spiritual stone, that Grihastha devotees were engaged in for making Lakshmi Krishna. So we're certainly not against business, we're not against money, we're not against profit. But everything should be kept in perspective. Everything should be understood very clearly. That preaching is the life of this movement. Without that, even if we have money, then we won't be happy and we won't be spreading Krishna consciousness. So as many devotees as possible, good temple organization means as many devotees as possible are engaged in preaching activities. And even those who are engaged in services like pujari service, cooking service, they should also feel part of the preaching team. We have to preach to newer devotees joining, to each other, to guests. Prabhupada sometimes indicated that the duty of the pujari was to preach to the guests. So if that mood is there, then always our movement will be fresh. We always have to remember this, we're living in an emergency. Our movement is fairly new in Russia. So naturally when something is new, there's a feeling of fresh enthusiasm. But we see in many places in the world that in the beginning devotees are enthusiastic, then due to the influence of Maya, they gradually become slowed down and complacent. So to always maintain that fresh enthusiasm, we have to maintain the preaching mood very strongly. And there is certainly good reason to be enthusiastic, because you have a good preaching feeling. It means people are interested. In some places it's very difficult to get people's interest. Actually now all over the world many people are interested in Krishna consciousness. But in some countries that's only come about due to many, many years of preaching, book distribution, festivals. But here just when as you're beginning so many people are interested. So it's a very, very good preaching field. I remember I was in Thailand for some years. You all know Prabhupada Vishnu Swami very well. He sent me to Thailand. I was working there under his direction. And quite honest, I mean, I was there for over 2 years, and we were working hard, going out every day, but we didn't find, in 2 years even, we were distributing books, meeting people, talking, we didn't find even one person who was seriously interested in Krishna consciousness, all that thing. There were one or two Indian people living there, but among the Thai people, they're very, very materialistic people and no interest. Same thing in Japan, they've distributed books for so many years, and now after many, many years of hard work, finally some people are becoming interested in Krishna consciousness. But here, the field is from the very beginning, very good. So take this opportunity. People may not be interested after some time. You don't know. Situations may change. I was explaining that yesterday. That in the 1960s and 1970s, social conditions were much that many people in Western Europe and America joined our temple. But in the 1980s, there was a different mood in society where people became extremely materialistic. And people stopped joining our temples. Yeah. Very much less people joined our temples in America in the 1980s and in the 1970s. So the social condition may change here also. It already has changed. Because previously, what I understand, it was very easy to distribute books here. Now it's become much more difficult. And I think you'll probably find this more and more. That due to the communist system where everyone, they were not given any information about anything, so knowledge was suppressed, information was suppressed. So the people are actually very innocent. But now the whole world of gross materialistic sense gratification has been opened up to the Russian people. And people are becoming more materialistic, more selfish, less innocent. So better to preach now as much as possible. Take advantage of the good situation because it may change. All right, Hare Krishna. Now, one or two points I'd like to make, which has got nothing to do with the class. You may have noticed during Mangal Arati, I stopped the lead singer from singing and had him sing a different tune. So I'll explain that if you don't know why. Do you know why I did that? Does anyone know? You know, huh? It's supposed to be a particular tune. Prabhupada was very strict about this, and sometimes we'd stop the devotees from singing. Then something else I see here. Prabhupada is being offered the dhalan on the deity of the previous day, which in one sense is not bad because it's been given dhalan from the deity. However, the usual practice is to give the guru a fresh garment, not one that is dried up. It's just like, for instance, you can offer the guru prasad, you can offer him chapatis which are 3 days old, but you don't, you offer him, it's also prasad, but you offer fresh, so maybe there's some problem of flour supply, I don't know. If you can arrange to give Prabhupada a fresh garment every day, that would certainly be better soon. Talking in class about preaching, but not that deity worship is to be neglected or thought less important. Alright, Hare Krishna, any questions? Nice music, best music is Mridanga, Kartals, Hare Krishna. This is a new kind of culture. Try and introduce this. That will be the greatest benefit. Many people will be attracted. It's not necessarily that we have to make rock bands. That may be there also. But there are so many karmi rock bands, people like rock music, they can go and listen to that. But many people, if they see Mridanga, Kartals, Hare Krishna, they'll be attracted to that also. This is the method for spreading Krishna consciousness given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada. I recommend we should have more Mridanga Kartal concerts. That will be effective for spreading Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? What kind of soul? Those who are averse to the service of Krishna. One more question. We are promoting the loud chanting of Hare Krishna. Loud means, generally in Bengali kirtan, the emphasis is on this melodiousness also. And from a musical point, you're talking about loud, you're talking about the musical impression, there's melodiousness. But he was fighting against the Sahajiyas who were saying that there should be no loud chanting of Hare Krishna. There's Sahajiya group saying that chanting Hare Krishna, that should be silent. You should chant only in your mind. So he fought against it. And definitely he went so many times he was taking out kirtan practice. Sankirtan is the yoga dharma. So how could he not be involved in that and be the acharya? So he's the acharya and he's not going to be involved in Sankirtan? Certainly. I don't know where these ideas come from. Now the next thing we'll hear, Srila Prabhupada was against book distribution. Rajasthan Sahasrara Thakur didn't like loud kirtan. Strange idea. Yeah, well I'm in the process of writing a book about traditional Indian culture, and much of that is based on my experiences in Bangladesh, where the traditional Vaishnava culture is very strong, even though Bangladesh is not now officially politically part of India. The original Vaishnava culture is very strong, but it's also very much mixed up with all wrong ideas, Sahajya ideas and funny ideas. But basically, the Hindu people there, of whom there are 20 million, they're mostly very much attracted to Kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to that part of Bengal, he blessed that this place, these people, will always be attracted to Kirtan. And so many aspects of Vaishnav culture are there, from giving respect to elders, respect to seniors, and so many things, how they give things, how they speak. The whole culture is just like this culture in the West is completely permeated by the idea of material sense gratification. So that culture is permeated with proper behavior expected of Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. So this culture is very important. My godbrother, Atmatattva Prabhu, he noted that in the Western countries, our devotees, they have knowledge of the philosophy, they have dedication, they have determination, they have so many good qualities of Vaishnavas, and even many qualities which many Vaishnavas in India are lacking in. They don't have so much dedication, determination. But what he noted is that in the Western countries, mostly our devotees, they lack culture. So if you want to learn about culture, that's a very good place to learn. Actually, all our temples are meant for teaching that also. But to a large extent, at the moment, in my observation, is that many of the points of culture, our devotees don't know, they're not being taught them. So anyway, it's a new movement, and there are many things to learn. Gradually, different parts of Krishna consciousness are being introduced. So this whole point of Vaishnava culture that is yet to be introduced on a large scale in our Western
movements.
In some places, I see that, especially I've seen Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's Western disciples, they tend to pick up from him because he's very cultured and very interesting.